Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Experience the unconventional.
Evening, boss.
The unpredictable.
What's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee. The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
Well, this is an exciting day. I'm walking through central London. You can hear the sounds of children being murdered in the background. It's an horrific sound, but something that the people who live and work in London on a daily basis certainly get used to hearing. Very, very exciting. I'm off to meet Tommy Wiseau and Greg Sestereau. Some of you will know who that is. Some of you will have seen either The Disaster Artist, the film that came out earlier this year, I guess, starring James Franco. You shut up, kids! That was based on a book by Greg about his time working with Tommy Wiseau on a movie. Oh, I can't do this here. Let me go somewhere quieter. Hang on, this is too loud. These kids, too bloody loud. Okay, I've come to somewhere a lot quieter. It's an underground car park where famously, actually, a little bit of London trivia, Jack the Ripper would come and behead the sex workers here. He would devour their remains here. Come here because it's a little bit quieter and I can explain what I'm doing. Also, this is where I've parked my car. And I'm using Catherine's digital recorder because I broke mine in Glasgow. And Catherine, of course, had given me a digital recorder where the battery is almost flat. So I've got to see. Stitched up by a mate, you see. And lucky I checked that because I'm a professional. So I've got to see if I've got a battery. Okay, I've got a battery here. So let's see if we can do this intro before the battery dies. So yes, Tommy Wiseau, auteur, movie maker, and his friend Greg Sestereau, got to try and remember to say. Right, well, the battery just got hit by a barrier, almost hit by a barrier, fake news. Well, the battery, I don't think caught that, so. Let's try again, shall we? So, Tommy Wiseau makes this movie, The Room, funds it himself, costs around $6 million. No one knows where the money came from. No one knows where he's from. I'm really out of breath. Right, breath regained, car park left, battery changed. Let's crack on with this. So, I'm in central London today, home of the Queen and video games, I think. Is HMV still a thing? And I'm off to go and see Tommy Wiseau and Greg Sestereau, who made a movie in 2003 called The Room, which you guys are an intelligent bunch. You're kind of a culty bunch. A lot of you will have seen it. I was aware of it for a long time, but never got round to seeing it because I thought, well, why would I want to watch a crap film? You know, it's famously bad. But I saw The Disaster Artist when it came out and thought that was kind of cool. And then at the weekend, my mate was over and we got talking about Tommy Wiseau, and he hadn't seen The Disaster Artist, and I hadn't seen the room, and we kind of decided to fill in each other's blanks, if you will. That sounded inappropriate, and I don't mean it to. But, geez, people. So we watched the room, and I loved it. I loved it. I was kind of thinking, well, I'll give it 10 minutes, and we'll see how we get on. But actually, I thought it was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. I can see why it's become such a big cult. There's some great light, very, very quotable movie. And I said to Simon on Sunday evening, I'm going to see if I can get Tommy Wiseau on the show. I want this guy on my show. So the next night at work, I'm Googling and go to Tommy's Twitter feed. First tweet is, I'm in London. Did a bit of research, and it turns out that him and Greg are over here to talk about the new movie and to do some screenings of The Room at the Prince Charles Cinema. What are the chances? There then followed a flurry of tweets and emails that have led to me being in central London today, Thursday, to meet Tommy Wiseau and Greg Sestero. Should be a lot of fun. Sestero. Geez, say his name properly, man. Well, there's something you don't see every day, and I think this is a typically London sight. There's a man lying on the pavement, masturbating. Real life, real London. He certainly is proper busy. He's fair play to him, though. He's not being vulgar. He's got his shorts on. He's doing it in his shorts. And that's great. That means that kids can freely walk along here and not be offended. So just to remind you, on my way to see Tommy Wiseau and Greg Sestero, I saw a man masturbating, and he's just finished now, so that's great news. Right, on we go. Well, I've recovered from the horny shock, and you know what? I'm really early, but what I normally do is I wander around for ages and get all sweaty and flustered and then somehow still rock up late. So I'm going to do something that I've never done before. I'm going to go in early. I mean, I'm like half an hour early, and see what happens. So we're at Lionsgate Films, kind of around Mortimer Street, which is kind of like the British Hollywood. Someone's wearing a very nice fragrance. There we go. Lady with a skateboard. Grown woman. Actual grown adult woman with a skateboard. In the reception. Crazy. See what happens. Having a lot of fun here at the reception. You don't really need to hear this bit. You don't need to hear this bit, do you? No, I'll stop this. Stop this now.
The late night lip service for lovers, loners, and lounge lizards.
Yeah, well, where exactly is your accent from?
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Oh, I've forgotten your name already, excuse me.
On Talk Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hello, I'm Jamie East. Now, as well as being on Talk Radio every afternoon between 1 and 4pm, I've just started a brand new podcast that I wanted to tell you about. It's called Talk Film. We've got interviews with the big stars like Martin Freeman, Tandy Newton, Josh Brolin, loads of them. And also all of the reviews of the week's big releases. There's a new episode every Thursday, available through Apple Podcasts and your favourite podcast app. Just search for Talk Film and give it a whirl. If you like it, please hit that subscribe button.
Experience the unconventional.
Evening, boss.
The unpredictable.
What's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee.
The late-night alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Tommy and Greg.
Yeah, hi.
Nice to meet you, brother. Yeah. How are you doing, man?
How are you?
Lovely to see you. Let me switch this phone off.
Where's best for you?
I will sit here and I'll kind of lean over.
Whatever you decide.
Well, I mean, we can rearrange it if you need.
Sure. To no. I'm going to come in here and I'm going to lean over you if you don't mind, guys.
No. Like a water, a tea.
A water would be lovely. Yeah. Still water would be fantastic. Okay, it's nice to meet you guys. Shall we crack on?
Sure. Whatever.
I'm a little bit. I got to be honest. Are you aware of the band, Greg? Are you aware of the band Love? From the 60s, the band, Love, the group.
I've heard of them.
When you've got a beard, you really look like Brian McLean from Love, the guitarist.
Okay.
A lot.
Yeah.
When I was watching your new film last night, I was thinking, that's Brian McLean. It's incredible. If they ever make a biopic of him, it's a niche market. I'm a little bit thrown, because as I was coming in, I saw a guy masturbating on the street. This is not even a joke.
Yeah, let's just go there.
I'm not going there.
Yeah, let's just don't use a vulgar language, just go to that point.
Exactly, let's get to the point.
Yeah, okay.
Let's talk about the new film, first of all.
Yeah.
I guess the question is, 15 years since The Room, what took you guys so long to make another movie together?
So Tommy had mentioned several times, like, why don't you do something? Why don't we make a new project? Why don't you take the initiative?
Yeah.
And so for so long, I didn't know how to process the whole thing. You know, The Room has been like this evolution of starting out, you know, you don't think it's going to go anywhere. And then little by little, it's like showing all around the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I wrote the book first, you know, I wanted to tell the story, but it was a couple years ago, I started writing the script and it was based on this road trip we took. And I just had that passion of wanting to go out and make a film.
Yeah.
I think with the experience that I had with The Room and writing the book, you know, the Disaster Artist movie coming together, it was just like kind of awoke that passion that I wanted to try again. So
the new film is it's beautiful. It's slow, which I like. You know, a lot of films, it's bang, bang, bang. And this just kind of takes its time. And you say it's based on a road trip. So how much of it is happened? And how much of it is, you know, is beautiful Hollywood, you know, sugar put on top?
I mean, it's, you know, a lot of our friendship has been 20 years. There's a lot of experiences, strange, funny, that kind of bled into the film.
Yeah.
The road trip we took years ago up the California coast, in which Tommy thought I was up, you know, I was plotting to do something to him, which I wasn't, but it's just...
you actually thought he was going to murder you?
Yeah.
Wow.
It became kind of this joke that we had talked about.
It was a joke, but I was just teasing. I was not serious, but, you know, within the best friend, he has everything. Like, we play basketball. Nothing to do with the room, because people get confused, you know? So it's a lot element you have... like we actually experience, you know, real life, little story. And also you can talk about teeth, no?
Yeah. And so it was kind of a mix of things. Like I think a lot of times people make movies, they want to get into movies because they're inspired by other things. And I'd love Drive and Nightcrawler and Breaking Bad. And so I was taking my experiences and kind of plugging them into that world. And another weird true story is that my brother's a dentist, and so he was telling me about this underground business where dentists sell their scraps.
Shut up! Is that true?
That's all true.
I was watching this with my producer Catherine last night, and we're going, well, it's a great film, but the tooth thing is a little bit far fetched. No, but it's true.
Whatever World War II. I just talked to somebody else. You guys don't know about World War II?
Well, I'm aware of World War II, but what specifically?
Yeah, why don't you do the research?
You just went through World War III in the street.
No, Hitler did to you know the. You know, that's. I don't want to go there negative, but do the research.
Hitler's quite negative. Okay, I'll do the research.
So basically, my brother gave me these bags of gold, the teeth. So what you see in the film are real teeth.
Yeah,
so that little gold tooth that my character holds up in the movie is worth like $780. Pure gold.
Front door.
Yeah.
So basically, they
were making more money selling dental scrap than actually doing dentistry. And then randomly on this true crime website, because I'm a big reader of true crime, it was a few months ago, this dude was arrested, this mortician, for stealing gold teeth from dead people and selling them. So that's what you're seeing in the movie is straight up
legit.
It's
a real thing.
And so I'm figuring if Tommy's character in the movie has been doing this for decades and he had that much scrap, it would be worth almost $2 million with the price.
The one thing I don't get in the film... So you get, like, the guy, the bad guy that comes in that's going to help you make a load of money, right? But then he doesn't seem to do anything. It's you guys that are out there meeting the dodgy dentists and people and selling the teeth. And the guy that comes in with the two girls in the tight dresses, he doesn't do anything, and yet he's taking half the money. What is he doing?
He's setting up, basically, all the refineries...
Right.
For you to make the delivery, so he's got the hookups, you have the teeth.
Okay.
So he's getting
basically... You still seem to be getting screwed, though. You guys are doing all the work in that. You're the ones that are meeting out in car parks in the middle of the night.
That's typical. You didn't know that?
Well, his character would never allow that stuff to go through anybody else.
Right.
So, again, very much like Tommy in real life, very hands-on and not, you know, wanting to control. So it's basically we were getting ripped off for the most part, but again, finding a way to make a lot of money off gold teeth.
He's scheming, as you know.
Yeah.
He's scheming in the movie.
Yeah.
So, did you like it?
I like the movie.
Oh, great.
It's volume one, so volume two is coming. Is volume two done?
It's done. We're showing at Prince Charles.
Wow. Well, volume two.
This weekend,
Wow.
Yeah, but that will be released in February, right?
It's going to come out officially January 2019.
Okay.
Yeah. And volume one will be released when?
September 25th.
And are you pleased with it, Tommy? You think it's a good movie?
Who, me?
Yeah.
You decide.
I decide whether you think it's a good movie.
No, you decide if you like the movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's great. We like that. We want to hear from you.
I thought it was good. I'm looking forward to part two.
Okay, cool.
Part two, part two is even crazier. It's the way I would describe it is it's as if...
People like it, you know, it's a great reaction. Yeah.
Well, I think part of it...
For some reason, I don't know.
I know the reason. It looks beautiful, but it's seeing you two on screen together again in a movie. There's obviously... you're aware of this because you go and meet people every day, but there's so much affection for you two.
I'm
thrilled just seeing you two sat together. Can I be honest? I saw The Disaster Artist when it came out. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen The Room. I was aware of it and I knew about it. And it wasn't until this Sunday a friend of mine came to stay and he said, and he brought The Room. He said, "Should we watch this?" I was like, yeah, I'll have some of this. And I was thinking, you know, I'd heard the stories. I'm going to watch the first 10 minutes, get the joke, and then... Right. But I loved it. Mm. I loved it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was charming. I thought, knowing the story... Mm-hmm. You know, your passion, Tommy, in making it kind of comes across in the movie. And it's a well put together movie. So when I found out you guys were in London, you know, I'm Googling, let's try and get Greg and Tommy on the show. Oh shit, they're in London. You know, literally the day that I've seen the room, I thought, this is too freaky. This is freaky.
It's really, it's a destiny.
This is meant to be.
You must be good.
It's like a crash course in the room this week.
There you go.
This is like the ultimate director's commentary. What drove you to make The Room, Tommy? Because it is a passion project.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you see, I was laughing because we have interviewed today and we argue about script. You know, like people have always like this and that comments about script. The script did. Oh, I have a script for you. But anyway, long story short, it's just passion, always been passion, you know, because I want to present something. My background as an actor is a stage actor.
Yeah.
Okay, so I love a stage. I always say stage is my house because you can express yourself, etc. But you know, I want to affect people positive way, and I notice all this movie. I say, you know, I collect movies. I like, I don't know, thousands of DVDs. I'm not exaggerating, a lot of them.
Where do you keep them?
In my house.
Okay.
My house. Okay. Leave it that way. So, you know, I have my preference, but I always have vision. I always say, if you have a vision, you have project, right? Yeah. And I learn and by doing this stuff, you know, like little stuff. And then I come out with this idea because we've been friends. We met at the acting class, and he became my friend. And I didn't want to compete with Greg, but I say Greg is always getting more jobs than I do. And I did some research, especially in Hollywood, you know, and I say, if I'm Hollywood, go to Hollywood, I have to make money before I go to Hollywood. That's exactly what happened, you know. People don't understand, but, you know, I've been in the steel industry, building. I build buildings in San Francisco. So long story short, again, I wrote the script, and first I started doing like one piece of paper, and I said, you know what, let's put together. And then Greg even told me he wrote the script. He would tell you in a few minutes if you ask him. And I told him, I say, he has a hard time. There's no way I would submit my script. And then I heard a horror story, you know, like typical Hollywood people submit this script, do this, do that, no result, nobody responded, and you're terrified. I say, you know what, I do better. Actually, I produced my own movie. Original supposed to be play.
Yeah.
So Greg helped me to, like in Los Angeles area, shopping for a theater, play theater. We would have put it on a stage.
Yeah.
But then I say, and you guys come to a picture in my life, UK as well. And it's statistically speaking, UK you have more theater, play theater than in America.
Right, okay.
Number really? Wow. You do. And the long story short again, I say, you know what, there's no way, and the cost was so much. Then I say, it's no way. I mean, there's only 20 people who would see it. Mm. What is this? Mm. So I adjust the script. I said, we produced the movie. I called Greg. In the beginning, he didn't want to do it. But then we sort of create this ambience that he wanted to do it. He actually changed.
You created an ambience that he wanted to do it. Did you bully him into doing it?
Well, he was busy, right, Greg? He was busy.
Greg's being very tight-lipped at this moment.
Yeah, he got, because he knows the truth, and I tell you the truth.
Okay.
But it was a good, positive thing.
Yeah.
So when you see disaster artists, the way they recreate, it's accurate, you know, because they put a little decoration. But I think they did a good job as a storyteller, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because 99 minutes, you can do so much. But I noticed in the beginning that I have great support from him. And I said, yeah, I have an apartment in you know, Los Angeles. Let's just make movie. And that's basically what.
But there's a difference, isn't there? Because the movie that I was expecting, I was surprised at how it looks like a proper movie. You know, you've obviously got great you direct it. Great camera operators, great editors. It looks
virtual cameras, remember?
Yeah, and it looks. Well, you did it on film and
HD
at the same time. Mm-hmm. That's an unusual directorial statement to make. Why did you do that?
The reason I did this is because Panasonic, and I would say openly the name, they promised us that if we use the camera, they put some, you know, PR work.
Right, okay.
And I discovered in my own research that the PR costs fortune, especially in America.
Yeah.
I said, there's no way I can afford a movie now, the PR, you know. So I say, no, I'm not doing this stuff. So they promised me, but of course, they didn't keep it. I was pretty naive, to be honest with you. Yeah. But never mind. They're nice people, but didn't come out the way I was planning a little bit, you know, the PR work.
I've read this. There's a lot of myths about you guys online. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be a vampire movie.
No, that's not true. No, because when we talk, Greg, you want to mention that about the vampire clarifying, the vampire thing?
Yeah, no, I put in the book that there was like a kind of a loose idea for right. a scene.
Yeah, but that was loose conversation that people lyrically, they, you know, again, I said this today and I would say again, don't believe too much on internet. It's just, I'm here and what my vision was, I want to affect people positive way. Yeah. So the you probably recently saw it, so... The message is there, two is better than the three for its crowd was behind the words.
Yeah.
Friendship does exist.
Yeah.
But sometimes you as a person, that's what Johnny comes, you know, did what he did on the end. I don't want to do the spoiler right now. But long story short, again, you know, it's a story what I wanted people actually have fun with it.
Mm.
Because that's my background, you know.
What
and
was
I
the...
wanted people to have fun, not just to like be serious about, okay, you know.
Greg, what was the turning point when it started to get its own momentum and the room and started to become, I would say it's probably even bigger than a cult now, but started to be, you know, take on a life of its own?
I will tell you a little secret. You want to hear?
Yeah, go on.
No, Greg first.
He's such a tease.
I noticed it was around 2008.
And it came out in 2003, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was screening monthly, and then it was around 2008. I did this interview with Entertainment Weekly, and that's when I first really knew that there was like an underground cult, like there was celebrity fans who was being studied in universities,
wow.
and it was much bigger than I even realized.
Yeah.
And so that article came out, and then it was like 2009, it really started to blow up. It was started playing here in London, mm-hmm. Australia. And just people started discovering it. It had an article here in Empire magazine. So people it's one of those movies that it's word of mouth.
Yeah.
And I think once it caught wind that this existed and people started discovering it, by like 2008, 2009, it just started really expanding.
15th anniversary this year. And you're doing a week of shows at the Prince Charles mm-hmm. Cinema, great cinema.
Yeah, we have regular monthly screening of the room.
And most of them are sold out. I think there's a few tickets for the weekend. Mm-hmm. There were when I looked on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. What other, you know, films get a whole week of screenings 15 years after they were released and declared a flop? You know, initially, this is a flop. This is a joke.
What?
But still, you know.
I asked Greg. He's right here. I never considered the room flop number one. It just, you know, I learned a process of, for example, distribution, which I was not aware how to do it. We have... Right now, we have great support with everyone, but at the time, it was different because, you know, it's just like beginning business doing something which you always discover something new.
Mm.
So in the beginning, we screened only for 2 weeks, and then I didn't realize people... the story is that it's not just how hard to produce, but it's also how hard to actually present to audience.
Mm.
Even maybe you have the audience, you don't know till you present it.
Mm.
So the room is sort of like, I would say, confession or proof that you can survive with all this different factor and forces if you really believe in your project. Because always beginning from the beginning, Greg probably have different take. Everyone say, oh yeah, it's your movie, whatever. I say, yeah, it's my little movie.
You should be very proud of it, and I'm sure you are proud of
it. I am extremely proud of it, and I'm very happy, and let me take this opportunity to thank you for all the support, UK people as well, worldwide, and we'll be doing more movies.
Good. The new movie, Greg, you wrote it.
Yeah.
You not the first movie you've written. Is it true you wrote a sequel to Home Alone?
I did, yeah.
At the age of 12?
When I was 12, I wrote a sequel.
That's
I saw the movie Home Alone, wrote a sequel for it, sent it to John Hughes.
Wow.
Got a letter back.
Rejection.
Didn't happen. Cut to a few months ago, I got to sit down with Macaulay Culkin on his podcast and talk about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually really interested in reading the Home Alone sequel. And we were talking about maybe shooting the sequel on his iPhone.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Don't shoot an iPhone.
Actually, I thought, maybe all these years later...
No, you shoot an iPhone now. But let me give you a little secret. You want to hear?
Yeah, please.
Actually, I find his script in his closet.
Yeah.
The time we'd be roommate in Los Angeles. and that was there, but that was the, I think the envelope still was there. It was pretty rejected, and I was just like, oh my God, I knew this is what happened. I don't want this to happen to me.
I think part of what your story, and you telling that Home Alone thing, part of your story is that, it sounds really corny, man, but dreams can come true. You know,
What do you mean by that?
Well, it sounds like a cheesy line. Dreams can come true, but you're kind of both living proof.
I don't think
it's
cheesy. I disagree. What do you mean by that?
Tell
me more, because I'm going to
tell you more. It just sounds like the kind of line, a cliche that people throw out. Hey guys, your dreams can come true.
That's true.
Your dreams can come true, but you are both living proof that actually, given a bit of time, you know, that you wrote this Home Alone script however many years ago, there's a chance that Macaulay Culkin is now going to make it. You know, the Room, when it came out, maybe didn't get the reaction that perhaps you hoped for, but 15 years later, it's this huge monster that keeps on growing. You know, I think it's a positive message.
Yeah, but you're right about this, because, you know, when I remember when I was going to school, you know, we always say, oh yeah, drink, country. It's just like, you don't care, but you actually care, because it's just like loosely you say the words. Yeah. But in our case, you know, it did come true. But you know what? I noticed one thing in life. You actually have to work for it, actually, somewhat.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how much money you have, how much is, because all these people that, you know, put the dollar sign. But I also, like I said this before many times, that respect and sort of understand of a person, you know, who they are, what they come from, and they may eventually they give you something in return, but don't count too much on it. That's what I am. You know, I always say to Greg, I say, okay, whatever, you know, I'm not counting to make this and that, whatever, nothing from return, but the return will come to you. I don't know if it makes sense or not, but that's what I believe.
Well, you didn't direct this new movie, Tommy. Were you kind of champing at the bit to order and say, no, don't do it like that, do it like this? Or were you happy to be directed?
Well, you know, I'm happy with any project. I did a project before, and I give my 5 cents, but that's best friends, it's Greg Sestero project. But I give my cents, and he will tell you the same thing. But we have a director, you know, I don't see any problem. You as an actor, I would say you can adjust accordingly towards whatever situation you have. You started, you know, character, you study what is in the script, what they expect from you, and you need a little vision as an actor. So I have no problem. Contrary, you know, I enjoy it more than ever. So
nice working together again on screen.
Yeah.
I know you obviously do shows all around the world together, but actually, you know, getting up in the morning, doing a scene together.
Yeah, was pressure a little bit, but I enjoy it.
Why was it pressured?
Well, because, you know, you as an actor, I talk about myself, you want to do the best. And sometimes, you know, it's like this, you do the scene and say next time, or even next day, you say, God damn it, you know what? I made a mistake. Maybe you should reshoot it. You know, it's always you want to be better.
Yeah.
That's because when you have a passion about it, and I noticed, like, on the set, best friend, I feel the passion in almost everyone. So I enjoy it when people not just do it, but just doing with extra miles. You know what I mean?
Can I ask very quickly about Tim and Eric? You worked with Tim and Eric. I'm a huge fan of those two. I think they're brilliant. Yeah. What was that like? Was that a good experience working with those guys?
Absolutely. You know, that. Let me tell you, we're not on the same page, but I think Bob...
Oh, right. Okay, sorry if I've stumbled onto something.
No, you did not stumble at all, because, you know, the... you know, comedian, the category is slightly different, but I think they are very nice people. They're very dedicated. They have passion. They own a category, if I may say that. And I enjoy working with them, you know. I mean, nothing negative to say. I think they are dedicated what they're doing, and I think they should do what they want to do, you know. I always say to actors and producers the same thing. They are nice people to work with.
Okay.
Sure.
So the new movie, when is that? Is that, when's that coming out? It's not out yet.
September 25th on iTunes worldwide. You'll
right.
be able
okay.
to get it.
And then Volume 2 is coming out February next year.
January 2019.
Now you're excited about Volume 2. The way
I want to see Volume 2, man. I saw Volume 1, and then it ends, and it goes, Volume 2 coming soon. Oh, come on. Give me more. Okay, you're doing the shows at the Prince Charles, loads of shows. What's next for you two? Tommy, what are you doing after
project,
this?
Right, Greg?
The next journey is a horror film.
Oh, man, really?
Yes,
wow.
We are working on a horror
Fantastic.
Movie.
Fantastic.
That'll be soon. We will see trailer. So.
Can you give us any clues? Give us a clue, Tommy.
Yeah, absolutely. We can give you which one. That's the problem. That we have also vampire as well. We've read variety. It's okay. We tell you. I tell you the clue.
Yeah.
But I cannot tell you the title.
Okay.
But it's about, you know, we have two brains, right? Left and right brain.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you know how much we utilize by doing something?
No, go on.
Do you know?
Well, I've heard that we only use 10%
right.
of the brain.
So we're going to present it that you may actually use it more.
Yeah.
And you may change yourself how you think.
Okay.
That's all I can tell you at this time.
Sounds intriguing. Guys, it's so nice to meet you. Honestly, you were in my living room 3 nights ago, and now I'm sat here with you. I'm a little bit, it's a little bit psychedelic. How long are you in the UK for? Just this week, and then you're going back home?
Yeah, until my left. Los Angeles.
Well, enjoy the shows at the Prince Charles. I'm sure you're getting a great reaction. Good luck with the new movie.
Great.
And when Volume 2 comes out, come on the show and talk about it, man.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Brilliant. Hey, great rehearsal. Should we do it properly now?
Thank you.
I'm joking.
I
think we got it. Thank you, guys.
We have a script for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, there you go, guys. That was fun. What lovely gentlemen. Risky, going to be honest, a risky opening gambit there with me telling them I saw a guy masturbating in the street. But I saw Michael Parkinson use the same line with Alfie Bo once, so I thought it would work. We nearly lost the interview. I've done a few interviews before where you go in with something a little bit risky and you nearly lose the entire interview. But we turned it back. That was fun. I enjoyed that. Well, on that bombshell, I need to try and remember where I parked my car and go and buy a new tyre. Thanks for listening. Good night.
Tales of mystery and imagination on the radio show that does things differently.
Dolly Parton, I listen to a record that they love.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I'm a nut job, but not that kind of nut job.
On Talk Radio.
Honest to God, it's the new Breaking Bad.
Oh no!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.